Log Talk Radio.
Self-determination. The whole notion of taking your country back, which is code language for numerous things that lead us as we decide to go forward. Donald Trump showed up in Scotland today. I'll read from the Huffington Post article. Donald Trump is not getting the warm Scottish welcome he was hoping for. The presumptive GOP presidential nominee arrived in Scotland on today, Friday, to officially open his new Trump Turnberry Golf Resort. Protesters greeted him with golf balls emblazoned with swastikas, a symbol of Nazi Germany, at the opening of the course. Trump also faced a backlash after tweeting that people in Scotland were going wild following the United Kingdom's decision to leave the European Union. Many Scots are angry at his tweet because most actually voted to remain inside the EU. When I last checked, the stock market had dropped to approximately 17,500, up to 220 points. In fact, as I was watching the market, it dropped an additional 30 points. Folks, you need to check your 401ks. They will be affected. The amount of British-owned investment in the United States is phenomenal, as most of our business infrastructure is actually owned by foreigners. Over the last few decades, Americans consistently fall for the okey-doke and believe anything a politician has told them, to the extent that we've lost manufacturing and we've lost essential ownership of many of the industries that we used to routinely shepherd, from beer companies to other major holdings, hotels, resorts. Many are foreign, and England has a high stake in the United States. From the left, the generic reaction has been, this is a sign that Anglo people, European white people, are picking up on a notion of Donald Trump in that they are taking country back, so to speak, as if they had given it away, which is equally foolish, taking their country back with the intent to usher in the old guard and the old regime. People of color should take note. This will adversely affect you, because part of the stance is anti-immigration. And if that sentiment continues to pick up around the globe, you're going to see nothing but hostility and a rollback of some of the civil rights and freedoms that we've grown accustomed to in our new diversified global universe. In another article in the Huffington Post, will Britain's American children follow the mother country's populace? In other words, will we follow their lead? The shouts of defiance that shaped the Brexit victory may carry across the Atlantic with implications for Donald Trump and the U.S. Hillary Clinton has cited that these are trying times, because the vote to exit the EU after 42 years of membership suggests that type of economic and global arrangement no longer works for the personality of a sovereign nation such as England or Britain. Britain is made up of islands. You have the main England. Britain, or Britannica, encompasses England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. And if there are any other lands I've failed to mention, and you know about them, though British, or Britain, or Britannia, we're talking about Irish, Scottish, and English. We need to be very clear. Sometimes, you know, the news and media throw the terms back and forth, and you just assume that they're talking about one thing. In fact, it is something else going on. The other issue of major importance is the fact that the trend has been obvious for over a year now, looking at the primary season, that Americans by and large, not necessarily Caucasian Americans, but all Americans who have voted or aligned themselves with a certain idealism specific to immigration, economic policy, and a notion of control by the people, over the elected officials. This is what this election is about. Not about much else other than a sense of mastership over your nation as a citizen. It's been complicated by the fact that one candidate at least is espousing historic racist views mixed in with political notions which lack any substantive analysis and understanding global reality. While I am as equally distrusting of government as Donald Trump, I am not as racist as Donald Trump. Banning this group or this religious sector will create nothing more than ban on the next, and then the next, and then the next. The point at which you as a citizen and voter wake up and decide that, yeah, I need to really dry my eyes and sober up and look at this for what it is. Donald Trump is speaking nothing less than racist notions. Said it over and over for a year now, that with all of the attention that he has brought to himself, both positive and negative, he has done more to expose some of the troubles in the election cycle in both parties, and has also done more to reflect a core racism in our country, division in our country. While I may agree with his economic viewpoint on foreign trade agreements, on hostilities with typical nations such as China and Russia, at some point something needs to change. I don't necessarily share his acumen or lack of knowledge or specificity around the issues. If I had as much money as Donald Trump, I would probably be running in the lead against Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Hillary, I'd be on one or the other side. Found over the years that my political nature is apolitical. I'm a centrist. There's bad and good in both parties. I tend to look for what is the greatest good to resolve issues and move things forward, as opposed to spinning wheels and constant protests and bickering on historical points and notes that have nothing to do with the current reality. I always find it odd. I tune into the old-timers on PBS early Sunday morning, McLaughlin Group. I've been watching McLaughlin for decades, and they're the old time. But it's insightful because their historical breadth, they make analysis, and they're talking about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and then they'll take you back into what went on during the 50s, the Goldwater, or with the Nixon, or with the Kennedys, or with the Bay of Pigs, and this, that, and the other, and how it may or may not reflect upon some of the things going on today. And oftentimes I just get stuck because I go, that is too far of a nostalgic point of view, which will eliminate any of your younger listeners from even wanting to tune in or pay attention, because they know not of those old notions, and nor does it really matter anymore. It is 2016, and America is in a cycle of the same repression, the same imperialism, and the same dictatorial style of governing across the globe as they were 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Granted, I'll give McLaughlin's staff of abundance that. However, when you look at Bernie Sanders' notion that it's only about the revolution in your mind, and that should spark you to get focused rather than apathetic. The choices in our American election cycle are simple. You will do nothing, not vote, either what you are currently getting and a continuance of the Obama-Bush administration, Bush-Obama administration, or you will get a radical change from which you have no idea what will or will not develop, because the candidate in Trump has not given you any substantive matter for you to make an accurate decision. Even that process, in its sinister nature, person in the room or the listener, that is not a good choice. He is not being truthful or detailed in analysis. Anger is one thing, and that's fine. However, how do we get past that? Everybody was angry, everybody would have more heart attacks, more high blood pressure. The point of it is to get past that and to resolve that so that you are less angry, less stressed, and less high blood pressure, and less heart attacks. So now that Dr. Trump has gotten everybody pissed off and angry, what is it going to come of that anger? That anger is energy. Emotions are energy. And as we look at what's going on in other events that we'll get to shortly, you can sense that, yeah, how I deeply feel about things affects the actions surrounding those issues, whether it's guns, whether it's gays, whether it's church, whether it's drugs, whether it's religion, whether it's the size of sodas you can buy, or taxing all of your comfort food. How you feel about things will affect your actions surrounding them. Someone once did a study and gave people and asked people what think most people choose when it's time to buy a beverage. Do they pick a large, small, or medium? And most people couldn't put their finger on it. Most folk assume that whatever they was into is what everybody else was into. So if I like small sodas, I take a small. I like large. The reality is most people choose medium, which is not a decision. It's the lack of making a decision for large or small. So like when you talk to folks sometimes, particularly us hipsters, you're talking about serious issues and then they don't want to hear it. And then they go, I'm cool. What does that mean? Cool does not tell me if you pro or con. Cool does not suggest anything other than you want to kill the mess. You don't want to hear what the issue is. Particularly in many cases, if you are in relationships and what you're arguing or fighting or talking about, somebody is at fault, needs to change behavior. So medium reflects the absence of choice and the absence of decision-making, which is easy for most to do. What I always do, and I'll always believe what I always believe, and I'll infer what I always infer, and I'll come to the same conclusions that I always come to, Then you'll look up after your parents and your children have gotten, parents have died and your children have gotten grown, and go, wow, this 40 years later, nothing changed. But you didn't change nothing. Again, protest for protest's sake won't change nothing. Arguing for arguing's sake won't resolve anything. A resolution without substantive and compassionate analysis of both sides of, or all sides of, an argument or a situation is not resolution. That's capitulation to one party or the other, or a mix thereof. Take a break. Real talk, real politics, and get back to you. Figured it out. But GRX and I hit it the first time we talked about it when we heard about this story that next morning. We both said, seems like you have a young man who never addressed his gay issues and he took it out on everybody else. Story came out, I think Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. I had intended to do Real Talk at Blue Think Tank, but this story hadn't developed enough where I could get enough meat on the bone. And mainstream media only covered it in a glitch. Then I'm going, well, public radio talked right up front about it. It was on Democracy Now. And this should affect the whole issue here. And while everybody's polarized around two issues, guns or terrorism, there's a lifestyle issue here that has affected this. And an emotional issue. What transpired, if you don't know, is that one of the killer's lovers came out and spoke, not directly on camera, with filters, and broke down what he knew. They also, as GRX and I talked, and I talked and gave you an investigative oversight of how you get into previous actions in the mind of a killer or heinous person. They pulled video of him going in and out of gay hookup hotels over 20 times. And apparently, one of the people he slept with was HIV positive and never told him until of late. Now, I am not certain in what order the young man that was telling this news piece was in the love triangle. But he, too, claimed to have been a lover of the killer. So you have a young man who was gay and embedded in a lifestyle and stone crazy. And I think, like he and I said, so mentally whacked out that you're just going to create this mess and then murky it all up with that it was because of Islam or this or that, citing to stop bombing my country, and you're an American. Iraq is not his country. Syria is not his country. Afghanistan is not his country. He's an American, born in New York. I think they say Queens. Come on, bruh. Come on, folks. You need to add this into your analysis. Because I'm not certain that we don't have some other type of issues lurking beneath this that we just won't deal with here in America because we're too polarized on our particular side of the coin. We'll be back tomorrow. Real talk, real game. And we got a lot of it tomorrow, folks. Thank you.